presented by the Small Business Payments Alliance.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Monday, April 29th. And as you can tell, I have no voice this morning, thanks to White House Correspondents Dinner weekend. Too many loud, crowded parties for this old gal, though I'm willing to bet I'm not the only one in this town still recovering. Speaking of, the New York Times and the Biden administration are once again at war with each other following Saturday's high-profile dinner. The Times was ruthless and totally disparaged the performance of SNL comedian Colin Jost, who we learned this weekend is a big Biden fan. Now, the administration said the review was essentially a crock of shit, as did most people who actually attended the dinner and thought he was funny, myself included. But the fight over Joe's performance comes a few days after our colleague Eli Stokols scooped that the frosty relationship between the New York Times and the Biden administration has really hit rock bottom. The New York Times has been furious that the Biden administration has not granted them an interview that they think they deserve, and the Biden administration has been lambasting the legacy publication for their coverage. On the campaign trail, former President Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis appear to have finally made peace. They met in Miami yesterday, as Washington Post Josh Dossi first scooped. He writes that the meeting is breaking a years-long chill between the presumptive Republican nominee and his one-time chief primary rival. This meeting was brokered by Steve Witkoff, who is a Florida real estate investor who knows both men. And this detente is clearly a win for both men. I mean, Trump and his advisors are clearly eyeing DeSantis's donor network to help raise money. DeSantis, on the other hand, needs to get back in Trump's good graces if he wants to win over the MAGA community and maybe run for president again in the future. As for the top of Playbook this morning, we are focusing on what is going to be the story of the week. It has been 38 days since Marjorie Taylor Greene filed her motion to vacate, quote, warning against Speaker Mike Johnson. Since then, Johnson has bowled forward with plans that Marjorie Taylor Greene has savaged as the spawn of the devil himself. He worked with Democrats to reauthorize FISA. He rolled conservatives who were trying to yoke law enforcement with new warrant requirements. He shattered the Hastert rule by allowing Ukraine aid to pass with less than half of the GOP majority, which is a big no-no for Republicans in the past. And atop all of it, Marjorie Taylor Greene is furious that Johnson apologized to President Joe Biden for rolling his eyes at him during the State of the Union. And yet, Marjorie Taylor Greene and the anti-Johnson movement, they've gone a bit quiet during the recess last week. Sure, she and Thomas Massie, who's joining her in this effort to try to oust Johnson, they're still tweeting their displeasure at Johnson over social media. Yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene wrote that Johnson's days are, quote, numbered. Still, that threat is much broader than the one Marjorie Taylor Greene made 8 days ago. She vowed on Fox News that if Johnson doesn't resign, she's going to force this issue on the floor and get him out. Now she's saying, quote, his days are numbered. Does that mean single digits, or does that mean he won't be speaker after the 2024 election? I have been trying to reach her now for 5 days. I have been trying to get in touch with her office, and notably, they're not saying what her plans are anymore. And a lot of senior Republicans told me this weekend they're starting to believe that she's backing off entirely, at least until after Election Day. This sort of lack of clarity on what Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to do this week, it's striking given that Massie told me before the recess that a bunch of members would actually be coming out to join their movement. Right now, they're only 3 persons strong, MTG, Massie, and Paul Gosar, and no other conservatives have joined this movement, unlike what Massie was predicting. People like Matt Gaetz, Chip Roy, and Bob Good have argued that now is not the time to throw the house in chaos. I'm also hearing that behind the scenes, there's been this sort of lobbying campaign to get MTG to back down. Trump World has made it clear that they're not fans of ousting Johnson right now. Other MAGA influencers have reached out privately and actually publicly are praising Johnson for other things he's doing, like lambasting college campuses for their inability to rein in anti-Semitism. To be sure, we should say clearly right now, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Massie, they're unpredictable. They could be keeping their cards close. And they really have walked out on a ledge really far on this, so much that it's hard to think that they're going to be pulling back now. Perhaps they are just regrouping and this is all going to come to a head this week. But we really are reaching this moment where Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to have to put up or shut up. Meanwhile, in the House this week, Speaker Johnson is going to be making a big pivot from issues that divide his conference to one his allies say unite their rank and file, specifically pushing back on anti-Semitism on college campuses. Johnson, over the recess, visited Columbia University, where he called out the campus's inability to protect Jewish students from heckling and harassment. In the House this week, Republicans are going to begin sketching out a more aggressive strategy that could include subpoenas for leaders at these high-level institutions. We expect discussions about possible legislation to recoup tax-exempt status, even research and development grants for schools that Republicans say are not doing enough to protect Jewish students from Gaza protesters. Part of this, of course, is going to be political. Republican leaders will be arguing that the Biden administration hasn't done enough to rein in this problem on their own, and that it could be Congress's job to step in here if nothing is done. As for the rest of your schedule today, the president will participate in a campaign event in, of all places, Wilmington, Delaware, his favorite place in the world. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by the Small Business Payments Alliance. According to a new survey, an overwhelming majority of small business owners oppose additional government regulations on the electronic payment system, as called for in the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. Don't let Durbin Marshall pile new mandates on Main Street small businesses. Learn more at smallbusinesspaymentsalliance.com.